sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, final hour of the week on the show. It's great to have you with us as always. Our thanks to Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Joined us in the opening half hour of the show today. In the second half hour, our thanks to Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated, who talked about the fact that the sky is falling when it comes to recruiting at Penn State football. He has tongue-in-cheek on that. We are brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. When it comes to the best selection of beer, they have it. Imports, domestics, microbrews. You need to stock up for the weekend. You want to get your best snacks. Great selection of soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. And, of course, the pickle bar. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Yeah, football all weekend long. The baseball playoffs. The Orioles play the Royals tonight. Game one, Camden Yards. On TBS, Kevin, by the way, I know you're having trouble finding where the games are. Fox, by the way, over the air at Fox has tomorrow night's Cardinals-Giants game. And you need to stock up for the weekend. Be ready. It's going to be a lot of fun, including Penn State, Michigan, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll be on beginning, by the way, at 5:30 with the Deeds and Watson tailgate show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So, tonight, it'll be Shikellamy back in action tonight. They play at Shamokin. 7 o'clock, the kickoff tonight with the outstanding work of Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort. And airtime is set for 6:30. 7 o'clock, the kick. And, again, airtime set for 6:30 this evening. And then the Shikellamy next week goes to Loyal Sock. And then they'll be finally home on the 24th when they have that backyard scrap with Danville. And back-to-back home games, then Milton. So it's quite a month. But at Shamokin tonight at 7, airtime set for 6:30 this evening here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. So we talked about a couple of issues, but let's review where we are, all right, because you all will be tested here at some point, and the test will be in the forfeit. No, I'm just kidding. No test today because I'm going on the road. I have a speaking engagement tonight. I'm speaking to the Penn State Club of Michigan. And as I pointed out earlier, how do those people feel? How lonely are those people? So, to be in the state of Michigan, to be Penn State fans. But you know what? Penn State has had a great tradition of football player come out of that state. Now, we know about Tim Shaw, for example, and his battle with ALS. Tim came to Penn State as a running back, went to linebacker, and was an outstanding linebacker here, and then carved himself out a nice pro career. We know Tim's now battling ALS, but he is a Michigan high school football product. Allen Robinson, a Michigan high school product, and two key guys in this game for Penn State tomorrow night, Anthony Zettel and C.J. Alanian, are both Michigan high school products. So it's not as if Penn State hasn't gone into Michigan and picked up their fair share of guys over the years, all the way back to Freddie Scott. Remember him on that 1994 team? He was a Michigan high school product from Southfield as well. So I will be speaking to the Penn State Club of Michigan tonight. Now, to let you know, you said, where is that going to be? At a clandestine location. It's actually going to be at Eastern Michigan University. And a guy says to me, he says, it's going to be great. He says, you'll get to see the gray turf. I said, I could care less about the gray turf, red turf, smurf turf. You know, I don't care about turf. I care about the game. So this will be tonight, which is good because when you have a night game on the road, basketball and football are different. In that basketball plays a lot of night games. But the difference is basketball has shoot-around. So in other words, you get up, you go to breakfast, you get on the bus, you go over to the arena, shoot around takes about an hour and a half, you get back in the bus, go back to the hotel, you get a meal, you know, I'll do the show here, boom, get on the bus, go over to the arena, do the game, then fly back. In football, there is no shoot around. You get up, you get breakfast, you watch game day, you think about maybe I should get lunch. You watch a game. You're saying, what time does the bus leave? Bus leaves at 4:20. you get down there at 4 o'clock. That's the difference. Football and basketball are different in that regard, because football, you have a lot of time where you have to kill a lot of time. Basketball, shoot around breaks the day up. It may not be the most dynamic thing on the face of the earth to go to, but it's something. And there isn't anything you see in shoot around that you haven't seen during the course of the week of practice. Every once in a while, they'll put a specialty play in. Once in a while, you'll see that, you know, and then you see it come to life in a game. But yeah, that's the difference between the two in terms of basketball plays a lot of night games. When football is a night game, especially on the road, it's a lot of okay. You're just waiting for that moment where you can finally leave and then get to the stadium. All right, Chris Adamski, he'll be going through the same thing as well. From the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, does an outstanding job. I have great respect for Chris's work. Chris, bye week, they head into this one. What are some thoughts initially about the Penn State and Michigan?
Yeah, it really, you know, I wrote about it today, and you know, I talked to even some of the media members up there, you know, in terms of, is it as bad as it, I look from the outside? Sometimes these things get a little bit, I don't know, like blown out of proportion nationally, or maybe it's worse. You hear about a student protest of the kickoff. Is that something that's just a niche, you know, a couple handful of students, or is that actually going to happen? And you know, pretty much, I guess the best way of putting it is they lost their, you know, they're starting running back, one of their best offensive players, to injury, for career-ending injury, or career-ending, I'm sorry, season-ending injury, and that gets buried below everything else that's happened. That's almost like a footnote to this week because of just, you know, on the field, off the field, the hot seat for the coach and the athletic director and you know, concussion, you know, scandal, if you want to call it that, the week before, and you know, here they are. They're. I can't believe. Can you believe this? That Michigan had never been 2-0 in the Big Ten since 1967, or oh, sorry, 0-2 in the Big Ten since 1967.
Unbelievable.
That's remarkable. That's remarkable. And you know, losing three games before the end of September for the first time in school history, and the three-game losing streak, and being 4-10 since I've had that great game in Happy Valley last year. There's just so much negativity surrounding it that you kind of just forget, oh, yeah, by the way, too, our top running backs after the season.
Other than that, yeah.
Yeah,
I watched Gardner play Saturday night, and then I watched a little bit of the tape again. That looked more like the guy before all these things started happening, where he was using his legs a lot more. What do you see in him right now?
Yeah, that's, you know, there was great hope for him and great hope for, you know, his role in the program and everything. You know, when he, you know, kind of arrived there, Michigan was still kind of, at least had a reputation after the Rich Rodriguez tenure of being a dynamic offense. And you're thinking, you know, after who he succeeded and everything, that you're thinking that that's not, you know, if they get the defense fixed there, that this is going to be, that the offense isn't going to be a problem. And that wasn't a problem when they were going 3-9 and 5-7 under Rich Rodriguez was the offense, and he looked like a good fit for that and everything. And you know, you wonder whether it's him or whether it's that they're paying they brought an offensive coordinator to great fanfare and paid him a whole lot of money. And right now it just seems like their scheme is real vanilla. And, you know, it seems to me if you're bringing in a guy to run an offense and with his reputation that he had or a national, you know, and pay him like a head coach salary and he's running an offense that seems like that almost anybody could run, and I don't know if he's really taking advantage, maybe, of his quarterback skill set. Maybe that's part of it. I don't know. That's certainly the way it looks. But you're right. I think the Rutgers game was a lot, and maybe this is a sad commentary on Michigan football right now. But they still lost the game at Rutgers. But it was their, you know, they looked probably the best they have all season. And I didn't watch. I'll admit they didn't watch the Appalachian State game or the two games they won, which because they were against lower level competition. But They certainly looked, the offense at least looked, you know, competent and relevant during that game.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to learn a lot watching Appalachian State and Miami of Ohio.
No.
Penn State through five. What do you see that you like? And I think everyone obviously knows what the concern is, but what do you see that you like? And then we'll get to the concern.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you think about it, especially with, you know, they're still down scholarships and with the attrition and everything else, and the, and, you know, the big, you know, almost, you know, everybody knows about depth and stuff. It, you think of the defensive line, which I think it's the quantity for the quality and the quantity they have at the D line, and then you realize they lost two guys from that unit to move the O line in the spring, and they're still rolling, nine guys deep at times. And, you know, like I said, again, the quality at the top in terms of the starters, and everybody talks about that, but that's kind of what gets me is, you know, and every all the other positions that don't have the depth, and you have the depth there in the D-line, you've got to be happy about that. And of course, you know, the numbers, I'm not really breaking any ground here, the numbers back it up with defensively, in all three areas and all around, you've got to be happy about that. And of course, I guess you didn't ask what the concerns were, but you're right, because everybody kind of knows the concerns. There's some obvious, positive points, too. And whether or not it's, this goes to, I guess, in baseball more than anything, they talk about luck rather than clutch. In that whole debate, how much clutch exists, and whether it be during a game or during a season. But Penn State's been able to be clutch this year, and if they weren't clutch in a couple key situations, they could be, 2-3 right now rather than 4-1. And really, people are reeling. So does that mean that they have, whether it be the quarterback, the offense, players that are stepping up at the right moment, or is that just luck? I don't know, but here they are, they're 4-1.
Well, this is really a first chance everybody's had to see the coaching style. So what do you see in the coaching style at Penn State? Because this has really been our first exposure, five games, to how they go about their business.
Well, in terms of the, I don't know if I want to go into the game day coaching. It's still kind of a small sample size for that. I haven't seen anything that's really, people will come, I'd love to kind of a knee-jerk reaction sometimes. And that's, any fan base, that can get them from all kind of people. So, there are some criticisms there that are laughable, some criticisms that are valid.
The overall sample size of 9 months here of watching them work.
Yeah, well, that's you take away from it. Heck, when I think about this coaching staff, I think, and I hate to go back 9 months, but to January when they were all sitting at the tables during their media day when they were introduced, and you often found that it isn't fake. Say what you want about them and their energy and their youth and whatever else. It's pretty authentic. You go from one page, you're just like, wow, you're kind of blown away. Why? And you can see why they're good recruiters, because these guys, to a man, pretty much, know how to relate to people, draw you in. You're drawn to them in that way. And I think that, especially for a team, any team goes through a coaching change, sometimes there's going to be skepticism. I mean, people, generally speaking, certainly, and particularly in this case, the players like their old coaches. They like their old coaching staff. I think that's fair to say all the way around with Coach O'Brien and the position coaches up and down the list. And, anytime there's a change, there's a level of skepticism, especially after the upperclassmen here, what they've been through, goes without saying. And you can see why they are, I hate to label players coach and everything. I know Mike Tomlin doesn't like to label players coach. That's not really the point, I guess, what I'm saying is. But you can see why these kids, these individuals, these players want to play for these guys. And, it was a good – we'll see how much it translates more into wins as we go on. And I'm not saying it won't, but I'm just saying that needs to be written. That chapter needs to be written yet. But you can see the intangible buzz all the way around from the players and from the surrounding – emanating from the program. That's not an accident. That's these guys, James Franklin on down, I think that's that's palpable. If that makes sense to you,
it does, as always. And the next part is, what kind of inroads in terms of building relationships are they making in Western Pennsylvania with high school people?
Yeah, as you probably know, Coach Terry Smith was a very successful high school coach here. He knew them. I was sort of at first, I kind of wondered if. I made sure I called around a bunch of his former rivals at the Quad A level here when Gateway was a pretty dominant program here. Not dominant, I guess. They never actually won a championship, but they were in the finals, in the hunt every single year. It would range from, I'm great buddies with Terry, down to, whatever I think of him, we all have a job to do here. I want my, it's good, best interest of everybody, the kids and the things like that. And so So, you know, Coach Smith, he's been pretty, you know, out front that he said, you know, publicly, he said, it's my job to deliver the best kids from the Whitfield to Penn State, and I'm going to do my job or anything like that. And you're right, you know, and again, it was out in the open, too, that Penn State didn't get any of the top 10 kids in Pennsylvania, let alone the Whitfield last season with the 2014 class. And that has to change. That's going to change. Now, that said, as of the moment, and again, it's a small sample size, but, you know, there was two main Whitfield prospects in this class, and they have the one Fatten 500 with that, and they've offered a scholarship to a third, and he's also going to Pitt. Now, that was the day offered the scholarship after he chose Pitt, as Nick Bowers from Katanning, the tight end. So, but there's no doubt that they're, you know, I've tried to reach out to coaches, just chatting with them as much as I can at the major programs and everything, and there's no doubt they're, as, you know, Coach O'Brien's staff did too, and of course Tom Bradley did before him and everything, not as if it was neglected at all. By any means, but you know, they decided to make it a priority, and losing Jordan Whitehead hurts that kind of the more than maybe even losing the player, hurts that reputation that they were going to get who they wanted around here. But there has definitely been an effort that's been well received by the coaches here, I can say that.
Chris, it's always a pleasure. Great respect for your work, as always. Thanks for carving out a few minutes for us today.
Oh, anytime, Steve. Great respect for you, too. Take care.
Chris Adamski, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Great to have him with us on the show today. How about the Altoona Mirror today? They're doing a preview of the Steelers game. This is their preview of the Steelers game. And they get to the part about Mike Tomlin. And they really ripped into him for calling a pass play at the end of the Jacksonville game to extend the meaningless streak, and it is meaningless, of five catches in a game for Antonio Brown. I know Steelers fans, oh, no, it's really important. Please, it's meaningless. Okay, you're in a one-score game. Remember, the final score of the game is 17-9. That's a one-score game. That's a touchdown, a two-point conversion. Well, you could say it's a safe pass. Well, you know what's safer? Kneeling down on the ball. And that's what the Steelers should have done, but didn't. But they say that, you know, and they really are going through what they think are some twists and turns now from Mike Tomlin, and it was in the Altoona Mirror earlier today. And they are finding some twists and turns in his management style right now that, if you read the article, they aren't comfortable with. Todd Gurley suspended by Georgia. Not the NCAA, but by Georgia. It is alleged that he received $400 for signing a series of items back in the spring. Did so all at once, all in one day. That's what's alleged, and that he received $400. There are photos of him signing things. There's a video of him signing things, but there is no photo or video that shows him accepting any money. So he is right now suspended indefinitely. The big difference between the Todd Gurley situation and the Johnny Manziel situation that took place 15 months ago is that Johnny Manziel's situation was brought to light in July. They had time to investigate before the season began. They came to a conclusion, a decision, and the NCAA suspended him for the opening half of the first game of the season. Okay. For Gurley, suspended by Georgia, not by the NCAA, but suspended by Georgia after compliance was made aware of this, he is suspended indefinitely as the investigation continues, but the difference is instead of having the investigation take place in July and August, the investigation is taking place in October in the middle of the season. Thus, he's out. And Georgia will take on Missouri tomorrow. Shikellamy is at Shamokin tonight, 7 o'clock to kickoff. Kevin and the coach, Dick Hort, on the air beginning at 6:30 with their award-winning broadcast. And, of course, that's part of the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations carrying four games across the spectrum this evening. So, you know, keep up to date on Lewisburg. Keep up to date on Milton. Keep up to date on Sealands Grove. And, of course, Shikellamy football. As Shikellamy tonight will be at Shamokin at 7. They're on the air beginning at 6:30 this evening. Final half hour, Steve Samsel. TalkingTVSports.com is going to join us to talk about TV sports. What a brilliant transition. Today's show being brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend, kids. All right, here we go. Stock up. All of you out there, enjoy snacks,
soft drinks. They roast their peanuts every day. And the pickle bar is outstanding. And for those of age, yes, those of age, the best in imports, domestic, and microbrews, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now, because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour for the week. Oh, stop applauding. What? Come on. I think we've had a great week, a fun week, all right? Final half hour of the week. Our thanks, by the way, to Jeff Hartman being with us in the opening half hour of the show today from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. Our thanks to Tim Owen of Blue White Illustrated. Talked a lot about recruiting and the sky is falling in the second half hour of the show. Our thanks to Chris Adamski, good friend from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, talking about Penn State and Michigan in the last half hour. You can catch all this on the Steve Jones Show podcast, by the way, if you've missed any of it. You shouldn't have, but just in case an emergency came up and you weren't listening, all right? Don't forget Shamokin and Shikellamy tonight, taking place at Shamokin. 7 o'clock, the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime with Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. And it is the weekend, and if it's the weekend, that means we need to stock up. At Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, you have the baseball playoffs. TBS tonight has the Orioles and the Royals. Fox tomorrow night. Over-the-air Fox. They'll have the Cardinals and the Giants. You have college football stem to stern tomorrow, including Penn State, Michigan. At 7 o'clock, Dietz and Watson tailgate show gets things rolling, by the way. That will be at 5:30 tomorrow night. And, of course, we also will have plenty of NFL action on Sunday. Steelers at Cleveland. Eagles in the Sunday night game take on the Giants. By the way, Seattle-Dallas, a great 4:25 game coming up. Monday night football as well. You need to stock up for the weekend. You have to. Well, there's only one place to do that. That's Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They're not called the beverage supermarket just because they just thought it would be a neat name. You go in there and you say to yourself, wow, the best in imports, domestics, microbrews, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day. The pickle bar is second to none. It is the beverage supermarket. It is Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors Studio. 99 years of excellence and service. Repeat customers up and down the valley, because all those repeat customers have found the winning formula for getting a vehicle. That's Sunbury Motors. Kevin's been driving vehicles from Sunbury Motors over the past few weeks. Turned in a Lincoln today. He'll tell you more about that and also his next step with Sunbury Motors. You'll hear from that a little bit later. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, you're going to go to the high school football games tonight, whether it's Lewisburg, whether it's going to Shemoka to see Shikellamy, whether it's Sealands Grove or it's Milton. Of course, we'll be carrying those games tonight in the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations this evening. But you'll be going to high school football games tonight. You might attend some local college games tomorrow. But for the most part, the television set is going to be your friend this weekend when it comes to watching football. Penn State, Michigan tomorrow night. You can, of course, hear it on News Radio 1070 WKOK, but ESPN2 has the game tomorrow night. Sunday, you know, we'll all be locked in on NFL games. I already talked about Steelers, Browns, Eagles, Giants, Cowboys, Seahawks, so forth, Monday Night Football. And Steve Samsel does a great job of covering all of this and the people who work the game. Steve, it's good to hear you.
Hey, good to have you. Thanks for having me, Steve. Good to hear you, too.
All right. College football season, NFL season, playoffs all going on at the same time. How do you try in your world to keep everything straight so you can have something set to go for the various outlets that you write for?
I think I do probably what fans do. You pick your spots. You pick the stuff that you're most interested in and give it a shot to kind of watch. Last week without Penn State playing, it was wonderful. It was football from game day till I got tired of watching Michigan and Rutgers. So that was a fun day, and it's fun because my wife likes to watch college football too. So we spent a day just kind of relaxing and watching. And, you know, tonight, you know, I get to see the Houston Texans with Coach O'Brien, which I just really haven't been able to see. So I'm looking forward to that. So it's just you kind of pick your spots and look for the stuff that interests you. And last week I got to watch the new talk show on CBS, which met the women's We Need to Talk show, 10:30 for 30 earlier this week. And it's just, there's a little bit of everything somewhere, and it's kind of fun to see what's on there and see what ties there are. You were talking about the 30 for 30 stuff earlier, having grown up the road from Lewisburg and the penitentiary. That was interesting. And then seeing, I forgot, Mike Mayock went to Boston College. You see him and see him as part of the show. And then there's a student at Penn State who's a senior in one of my classes who grew up in Pittsburgh and whose sister was coached in softball by Rick Kuhn. So the ties were just amazing as you were watching that happen the other night on TV.
It was, and I thought that was an amazing 30 for 30. I found the whole thing riveting. And, again, I had never realized, and I don't know if you had, in watching the movie Goodfellas, when I watched the trial sequence when Henry Hill is on the witness stand played by Ray Liotta, I thought they were talking about the Lufthansa thing. I didn't realize that the trial was about the point-shaving scandal.
Yeah, I didn't know either, and I like how they cut the film scenes back in, but yeah, there's kind of that light bulb moment going off when you're watching it, and you're like, oh, really, that's what that was about?
Yeah.
So it was interesting, especially when you're so close to it, when the people that ended up being punished are down the road, and it's college basketball games that you probably watched at some point, you know, as a fan, and sometimes you just don't get a chance to connect all those dots, so I thought it was powerful from the access they had, and then it was informative, and they kind of unwound all the little knots in the story and came up with a nice arc that made sense.
Right. Yeah. And for me watching, I kept thinking about the 95 Northwestern Penn State game that I did, and I didn't have a clue. I just did the game and thought, okay, next, moved on to the next one. So
it's amazing.
It is amazing. Now, the National League, check that, Major League Baseball has moved around between MLB, Fox Sports 1, TBS, yet evidently, Steve, the ratings are pretty good. Your thoughts on the ability of people to find the games?
Yeah, I think the conventional wisdom was that moving around was going to hurt these things, whether it was baseball or NASCAR moving around, and now maybe it's hurt NASCAR. But I think people with the remote, fine. I mean, I don't know that I always know what channel something's on. I forget where my TBS is as opposed to my TNT. But you can search on your remote, and I think, you know, sometimes when it first happened, we didn't give people enough credit for being able to say, oh, okay, what I want to search for and find it. So I think it isn't such a high hurdle for people to find out where it's at. And, you know, as we found out with the NBA contract, live sports is very valuable. People are interested, and they're going to make a way to find it and on their channel and watch. So I think that's what's happening. I think initially everybody thought, oh, they're going to switch this around, and people aren't going to know where it's at. But I think, you know, sports fans are smarter than sometimes they're given credit for, maybe.
The next contract to be negotiated, because I think everybody has their contract in place, will be the Big Ten. You mentioned the NBA just got $26 billion over 9 years. Now the next step will be the Big Ten. They claim that they can get up to $44.5 million per team. when you see that, the Big Ten certainly has struggled in football. Basketball obviously has been pretty good. Is it the markets that will drive that, and do Maryland and Rutgers play a big role in getting them to that number?
Yeah, I mean, of course so. I mean, I think it is the markets, it is the geography, as we've talked all the time about what people can put on their cable bills. And certainly the Big Ten is making a full-fledged sale into making sure they're trying to stay connected with New York with everything they do with Rutgers. I mean, that was one of the most striking things watching last week, and I had to make sure I knew my distances and looked them up. You know, Rutgers campus, they're playing 35 miles away from downtown New York, and you're getting these aerial shots. You know, if that'd be Penn State, it'd be like showing you downtown Lewistown during the broadcast. So they're trying to make that connection and show folks that, hey, we have value here. We're in the big city. And yeah, that those markets are going to play in. They're going to take the tournament down here to D.C. for basketball. So they're trying to make those connections. And I guess I'd be surprised if they didn't get that money the way things are going anymore with rights fees and what's happening. Because sports, you know, as David Hill said years ago when Fox Sports first jumped in, sports are tribal. And people want to have their connection to their piece, and they expect to be able to find it. And we've gotten to a point now where, you know, if you really sit back and do that math of what ESPN costs you on your piece of the cable bill, and could you see those events any other way in that cost-effective of a manner, and you really want to watch them, no, that those $4 or $5, whatever it is for ESPN each month to be able to see that many games, that's kind of a deal. And I think that's in their favor and probably in the Big Ten's favor as things move forward.
In reality, what's more valuable now? The cable rights, I mean, the fees that cable charges to subscribers to pick up the various networks, or advertising?
I think it's both. I mean, I don't know where the metrics fall down in terms of the percentages for both, but I think it's the value that you can do both, that you can not double dip, but sort of double dip. You're getting both. You're getting the advertising stuff, and you've got that guarantee. As long as you don't lose the subscribers, you've got that money. As long as, well, I guess it's Rob Lowe now who's pitching DirecTV trying to get me to cut my cable cord. But as long as you don't believe his commercials and leave, I'm going to get that money from the network side and then get to the league side to pass it along. So, I mean, I think it's the subscribers, but certainly they're getting, the advertisers aren't saying no either, because that's, they know where the eyeballs are. They know that live sports coverage is the most valuable thing on TV. You know, there were stories out, I guess it was today or yesterday, in the New York Times about the scores of the NFL games on Thursday nights. And maybe it's not, you know, competitive balance and all that, and maybe the games aren't good, but it's a TV show, and people are watching, and more people are watching those games than were watching the Big Bang Theory that was there and got moved to Monday nights. So advertisers are going to follow the eyeballs as well.
Your class, I believe, covered the Penn State volleyball match with Northwestern. They have been to the Penn State football basketball show in the past. What do you want your class to get out of those respective experiences to make them better?
I think I want them to think. I want them to observe. I had a student yesterday come into my office and say, you know, I know what's going on. I know what the news is. I'm trying to put this story together. I'm trying to figure out how this runs. And I say, don't get upset. Take a deep breath, relax. What would you tell your parents, your friends, when you get home, your roommates, what happened at the game? When they ask you what happened, what's that first sentence you're telling them? And then think about framing a story. And then once we get to that part, be thoughtful and then think about, you know, ask that question and be inquisitive. Last night, Coach Rose, the women's volleyball, was not happy with the way his team played. You know, they sweep Northwestern, and he is upset in post game, and they're sure having a tough practice today, and he didn't have much nice to say about anybody. And I think, for someone who's never been in the post-game news conference before, like a lot of those kids, to see that and say, okay, I'm going to write a story about a team that won. Here's this other team's errors. This is, I'm looking at the box score, and this is what happened. And then you then hear the coach's perspective, and you find out you have a different story. Or you could go a different way with a different story. So I think that part, I want them to be able to think and ask some good questions and understand also that stuff's going to go wrong. You know, no matter your best plan, the game's going to go 18 innings, or somebody's going to get hurt who you were going to write about. And you just have to be nimble enough to deal with that. And I think that's the big thing. Life happens, and be smart enough to just observe and ask questions.
You've had them at the Penn State Network talk show before, too. What do you want them to get out of that experience? Because that is 180, really, from a game.
Yeah, I think it's seeing somebody else doing their craft well and how it works. You know, to see how someone asks questions, how someone else listens. I mean, you can learn so much
from watching a pro do their job, whether that's coming and watching you or listening to you or having me at Marty Aronoff in the classroom yesterday, and he was great. And one student finally asked it. I mean, Marty, who's a statistician for major broadcasts and works with the announcers, you know, right next to him, handing him stats, was doing that long before there were hundreds of people doing that, and it was automated. And ESPN had a big research department, and someone said to him, "Well, you know, if ESPN has all this, and there's the Elias Sports Bureau and all these things, how do you stay relevant? How do you stay valuable if they could do this? Why travel you? Why?" And it was a great question. And he said, "Well, you know, I've been doing it for 31 years. You know, I have these connections. It is the human touch. It is the thought behind it to know when to use a stat and when to point out a note." And I thought that was really interesting. And I think the students got that too, that you as a talent, whether you're writing, whether you're a broadcaster, or whatever else, can have that value added by being prepared and knowing what's going on. We have some students, Jeff Brown set it up, and from the College of Communications and some students in themselves. They're meeting with Coach Pavlik from the men's volleyball team Wednesday nights at Penn State. They have an hour or so. They go over and meet, and they talk about volleyball. How does it work? What's going on? How can I be a better broadcaster by understanding volleyball, and or a better writer covering it? Because it's both some print and some broadcast kids. And they watch, some of them watched the women's volleyball game last night with Pavs. I mean, what a great opportunity for both him to share his expertise and for our kids to say, "Oh, okay, I'm not going to throw out this cliche because I'm going to understand." And I talked to Pav about it today. He said, you know, you hear broadcasters say he set up the ball. Well, he's like, "Well, where else is he going to set it?" You know, it's just those kind of things. And it's great that they can learn from each other and get better all the way around.
When you look at the Curley Center and also the College of Communications, there was a point in time where Newhouse was the standard by which everyone talked about in broadcasting. How proud should everyone be of Penn State for the advances made here, where now Penn State's deep in the conversation about developing writers, broadcasters, and those in sports information?
I think people who are associated with Penn State, I think people who appreciate good sports journalism, have a reason to be proud. Because I think what's different between the two a little bit, I think, in terms of the perception is, the Newhouse perception is that, you know, they have Mike Tirico. They have some guys that are out there in front of the camera who are the broadcasters. And we don't have many people that are that prominent, although, you know, we have Tom Verducci doing the World Series, who's came up through writing. But we have such a deep pool of talented, passionate people who, for the past decade, have been going out there and waving the Penn State flag, and not overtly waving. I mean, waving it because they're professional and they do their jobs well and they care and they're prepared. And I think if you're a Penn Stater, you're proud that a Penn Stater's doing it. If you're someone who likes good sports journalism, you're proud that people that were invested in it, that care about their craft, that are trying not to cut corners and are doing their best, are out there doing it. And I think for all those reasons, I think sometimes we aren't seen because we don't have as many in front of the camera people, but we got a great, deep talent pool of young, strong, talented men and women who are going out there and doing their jobs and doing them well.
And they sure are. There's no question about that. There's a lot with the young pool of talent out there from Penn State that's working in many, many areas that people around here should be very proud of. And, oh, by the way, did Marty Aronoff show everybody his right elbow? Because he says that's what's on TV most of the time. That's what he told me.
he was just wonderful yesterday. I mean,
stories.
Just so good. And right. I mean, just sharing good insights with them, you know, about what he consumes and how they can put themselves in a position to be better. And genuinely happy, in his case, to be able to come back and talk to the students. You know, he funds a scholarship, but happy to be able to hear from them and talk about them and talk to them and listen about what they're doing. And to the students, everlasting credit. And, you know, nobody was faking it. And you can kind of have a sense when you have a small class, okay, who's putting up with the guests? They were more than not putting up. They were engaged, interested, and wanted to learn. And I think that's the other thing, that the Penn State thing is happening. The people that were out there as leaders in the sports journalism industry, like Marty and kind of our pioneers, sort of, are so thrilled to see people coming up behind them that they can reach back to and share their expertise to, and be proud of the people that they're doing that with, because they know they're talented.
Steve, always a pleasure. Appreciate the time very, very much, and enjoy your work.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Brian.
All right, so Steve Samsel joining us on the show today. And Marty Aronoff, the statistician, has worked for 31 years. A lot of work with Dick Stockton, not so much lately. He is on the Monday Night Crew with Mike Tirico. He does 215
broadcasts a year between the NBA, a little bit of hockey, baseball, does a lot of work with Kenny Albert's crew on Fox, and, of course, obviously the NFL and Monday Night Football. He was just in Landover for the Seahawks-Redskins game on Monday night. Tuesday night he was here, and then Wednesday he spoke to classes here at Penn State and was awarded an alumni fellow. He's a 1959 graduate, or 1960 graduate at Penn State. And Marty Aronoff is somebody that I had a chance in a small group to have dinner with him on Tuesday night. And then the two of us sat there and for an hour and a half and exchanged stories left and right. And Bill Amin was a part of the conversation because Marty and Bill go back as well, because Bill used to be on that Monday night crew with him. And Bill, of course, does a lot of great work still with Tennis Channel, ESPN, had worked on Game Day for a period of time as well. But Marty Aronoff was fascinating to talk to. Fascinating. Great stories. No ego. Zero. So our kind of guy. All right. So the week has come to a close. Don't forget high school football coming up tonight. We're 90 minutes away from the pregame show as Shikellamy plays at Shamokin. Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort on hand for that game this evening. Kickoff set for 7 o'clock. Should be a great one, and it'll be an outstanding broadcast, I can guarantee that. Penn State, Michigan tomorrow night. Dietz and Watson tailgate show at 5:30 on the network and WKOK. Kickoff set for 7 tomorrow night in Ann Arbor. Today's show has been brought to you by our great friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best in soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts every day, and, of course, the pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. And from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. For Kevin Herr, I'm Steve Jones. Thanks for joining us all week long. Look forward to talking to you Monday right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.